It's National Stop the Violence Day, which arrives in the wake of this fall's congressional hearings, which revealed that some of the shadier corners of the entertainment industry are using children as focus groups for marketing violent films and videos. Once again, we're asking another round of questions about how to stop the flow of violence, real and imaginary, that seeps every day into the lives of our children. One of the concerns that has surfaced recently is the way in which our children's rooms, especially our teenagers' personal living spaces, have become media cocoons wired with televisions, computers and the internet, and video games. According to one 1999 survey, over 70% of America's sixth graders had television sets in their rooms, and this daily media saturation often goes unseen and thus unsupervised by the adults in the family. The idea of a separate private space for children is historically new, only a few hundred years old at most in the West. It wasn't until the 1800s, among upper middle class and wealthy families, that kids had these separate domains, and affluent parents could afford to indulge their offspring's whims and provide them with the space to leave them to their private fantasies. Working class and poor kids always had a rougher and readier arrangement of space in their homes, and privacy was a relatively rare thing for kids, right up to the 1950s, when we welcomed in a less authoritarian style of child-rearing in an increasingly more affluent post-war America. The designs of the new American tract homes now had separate bedrooms for most members of the family, which is where, in some respects, the fracturing began. What is most disturbing, perhaps, in the latest figures about the wiring of American kids' rooms is that it further pushes them into isolation from their larger human community. The classic studies of violence and television that are now nearly 3 decades old found that a steady diet of violent visual images led children to passivity, to an acceptance of violence in the world around them, and to an unwillingness to get involved in helping to stop it. There is no single answer to this trend, but it is clear that it will take a concerted, dedicated effort in media education on every level, in the family, in schools, in policy decisions, and in the entertainment industry itself, to reverse this withdrawal and to begin to open some doors and let the fresh air in.